The title of this sermon is The Blessing of Chastisement. It's a blessing that He chastens us.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Aaron.
Heavenly Father, we worship You. We exalt Your name on high. We give You all glory, all praise, and all honor. We do know that You're working all things for our good, that Your goal is for us to be in a right standing with You, that Your goal is for us to spend eternity with You. And God, we thank You that You do things that we don't understand. We thank You that You make decisions based on our good that we would never know or never be able to figure out. And God, we thank You that You only want what's best for us. And God, as we've come into Your house to sing praise to Your name and to let Your Holy Spirit run this service, God, we open Your holy word and we ask that You would speak from heaven, Lord, that You would speak today in a mighty and clear voice, that we would submit to Your word, we would yield to Your instruction, and that we would obey because You are working all things for our good. God, we praise You, we worship You, and we acknowledge that You are the King of Kings. And we thank You for Your word, and we thank You for Your presence. And we ask that You would just speak right now. We're expecting it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. The word that the Lord gave me this week, He spoke a word to me several weeks ago. And I kept saying, is that what You want me to preach? Then He gave me authority last week, and I was like, okay. I was like, I'm not preaching the other one. That's fine. Whatever. And then on Monday morning, I was like, was it that first word that You gave me? Was that the word that I was supposed to, am I supposed to preach that this week? And we have a little group message, and Dante sent over a beautiful word in it, and it had the scripture verse in it that the Lord had spoke to me repeatedly. And I told Lisa, I said, Dante, the thing that Dante sent over confirmed that that's what I'm preaching on this week. So thank you, Dante. But as I was preparing this message, and again, I sat down yesterday and I wrote one word on a piece of paper, and I was like, okay, God, just fill out the rest of the paper and we'll be good to go. He did. But He reminded me of a story from my childhood that I'd forgotten. And best I can remember, because we moved around a lot, but based on the house we lived in, because I can remember sitting in my bedroom, I was probably 8 or 9 years old. And this is going to be hard for me to share, and probably hard for you to hear, but I'd gotten in trouble. I know. It was crazy. How could I have gotten in trouble being the perfect child that I was? I think back on it, and I can't remember what I did, because maybe I didn't do anything. I promise you I did something. I was bad every once in a while. Now, in all fairness, after Pastor Jerry shared that he vandalized a home, I look back on it and reflect, you know what, I wasn't that bad. But I'd gotten in trouble, and my mom made me go to my room. And she said, when your father gets home, you're getting paddled. Super. So I was in my room and I was waiting and I heard my father come home. And I was like, this is bad. So he comes in and he's worked, you know, 10, 11, 12 hours. And I'm sure the first thing he wants to do when he gets home instead of eat and change clothes is to paddle me. But he walks in because I heard my mom telling him about it. And I was like, I think she's exaggerating. But he says, what are you doing? And I don't know. He said, well, now I have to punish you. I have to paddle you. And I began to cry because it was going to hurt. He was good at paddling. And as I'm crying, he looked at me and he said, This is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. And you never understand that as a child. You start to understand it as a parent. But he said, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. And at 8 or 9 years old, I was a problem solver. And I said, I have a solution where neither of us get hurt then. And he laughed. I said, if it's really going to hurt you that bad, I don't want that for you. So he paddled me, but I think only about half as much as what I deserved, a little lighter because I made him laugh. Job 5:17. This is one of Job's good buddies, and we're just going to read the one verse. But he told Job, he said, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not the chastening of the Almighty. It's easy for someone to say that's not being chastened. Let's go to the next book in the Bible, Psalm 94, verse 12. These are psalms of worship, and again, just one verse. But in this psalm, in this verse, the psalmist said, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of your law. Flip over to the next book in the Bible, Proverbs chapter 3. King Solomon, the wisest man ever to live, in verses 11 and 12, he says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delights. Got to go to the New Testament to make sure nothing's changed. Hebrews chapter 12, the writer of Hebrews, starting in verse 5, he says, have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children? Right? Because he's our heavenly Father. He says, have you forgotten that exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children? My son, despise not now the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. He just quoted Proverbs 3:11. And then he goes on, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Now, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chastens not? Because he goes on to say, if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards. You're not a son of his if he doesn't chasten you when you've done something wrong. Furthermore, in verse 9 he says, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father? For they, verily for a few days, chastened us after their own judgment. But he, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but it's grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. He tells us, just like our parents, our fathers that loved us, chastened us and corrected us, it was out of love. My father truly didn't ever want to correct me for no reason. I was very fortunate. He did not ever do anything to me unless I had it coming. And oftentimes let me off when I had it coming. But God treats us the same way.
for our good. And he says there in verse 8, he said, if he's not chastening you, you're not his son. He's not going to let you go off and not bring you back in. Because why? He wants good for you. Says he wants to do it for your profit, that you can be a partaker of his holiness. The title of this sermon is The Blessing of Chastisement. It's a blessing that he chastens us. It's a blessing that he corrects us. Because he wants us to walk in his path. He wants us to spend eternity with him. He wants us not to miss out on blessings. When we sin, he pulls us back in. That's a blessing. How many of you love to be corrected? Start. In Job it said, happy is the man that God corrects. Not right that second. But he says, don't despise the chastening of the Almighty. In Psalm he said, blessed. You know why you're blessed? Because you're one of his sons and daughters. In Proverbs, he again compares it to a father and a son. He says, don't despise it. He only chastens the ones that he loves. And then the writer of Hebrews sums it up and he says, if he's not chastening you, you're not his son. So if God is chastening you, or has, or is bringing you, it's a blessing. You're his son, you're his daughter. And he only wants good for you. I looked up the definition of chastisement, and it says it's the act of punishing or scolding someone as a form of discipline for correction. He wants to correct our sin. He wants to correct our disobedience. The process of disciplining until it ends, the sin, and obedience is restored. The purpose of it is to correct the behavior and deter future wrongdoing. You know, right after I got paddled, I was a little better for a while. I was, especially till I could sit down again. But that's the purpose of chastening, to deter future wrongdoing. It's a disciplinary action that is aimed at addressing and correcting undesirable behavior. God is a good father. So he will correct us and chasten us when we need it. It's for our profit. So it is a blessing. We should be happy and thank him that he didn't let us go. God wants you to spend eternity with him. God wants you to walk in the call that he has placed on your life. He wants to direct your path. He wants to bless you. So therefore, he corrects you. And I know sometimes we hear a word like this or we hear things and we think, well, I know somebody who could use some chastisement. This is a good word for I know. Somebody needs to hear this. Well, let's talk about that. Romans chapter 12. The Apostle Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. This is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And in verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. We need not think too highly of ourselves. We may be the one that needs some chastening. We see somebody, he gives us instructions on how to go. But let's take this, not think too highly of ourselves. He tells the same thing to the church in Galatia. Let's look at Galatians chapter 6. He says, brethren, he's talking to the church, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. The spirit of meekness. When we go to someone, it's to help them. It's not to shame them. It's not to condemn them. It's to help and restore. He says, do it in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. We should bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he's deceiving himself. When we see someone, we go to them in meekness and ask them if we can pray for them. We ask them and we go with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. God will tell you when to go. And when you go, you be sure God told you. He is the one that will send you. That's not on your own. But you go and you in meekness say, hey, I want to help you. I want to pray. God has helped me. God, you can share what He has done for you, because we've all needed someone to come and ask us if we needed help or prayer. And he goes down into verse 14 in the same chapter, and look what he says. He says, God forbid that I should glory. He says, except for what? In the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. If you're going to boast in something, boast in Jesus. Boast in your resurrected King, the King of Kings. Say, hey, I've been there. I've gone through it. But you know what? Jesus took my sin upon that cross. Jesus took all my punishment. He rose again, and now He's helping me every single day in this battle. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 31, just the last verse. He says the same thing that He just said to them. Maybe we need to hear it. But He says, according as it is written, he that glories, he that boasts, let him glory in who? The Lord. We are nothing apart from Him, right? And anything that we are is because of Him in us. So we glory in Him, not in ourselves. And how do we stay grounded, right? How do we keep the cross reverent? How do we think about what we know? We think about Romans 3:23. What's it say? All have sinned. That's every one of us have sinned and we've come short of the glory of God. And then we think of Romans 6:23. Because we've sinned, what do we deserve? The wages of sin is death. That should keep us humble at all times. Hey, I've sinned and deserve death, but I have a Savior in heaven. Because luckily the verse doesn't end there. It goes on and it says what? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Give Him glory. None for yourself, all for Him. Because it's not about us, it's about Him. Thank God for that second part. The gift of God. David said in Psalm 103:10, he said basically, thank God He didn't give us the first part of what we deserved. He didn't give us what we earned. He said He's not dealt with us after our sins. He hasn't. He's not rewarded us according to our iniquities. He's given us what? The free gift of salvation, despite the fact that we've sinned, fallen short, and deserved death. That should keep us humble. Now the scripture that the Lord had kept speaking to me, that was in the text that Dante sent, was in Isaiah 53. And I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's not very long. It's only 12 verses. This is a relatively short word. I'm already on the back page of my paper. But Isaiah 53 is the prophecy of our Savior. He tells of the coming of Christ. And he says, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we will see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised, rejected of men. He's a man of sorrows. And he's acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely, he's borne our grief. He's carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. That's what he kept saying, the chastisement of our peace. The punishment that we deserved so that we could be in a state of wholeness before God was on him on that cross. And it was all day. He was beaten. He was mocked. He was unrecognizable so that we could have peace with God. The death that I deserved, the death that we all deserved, was given to him. We cannot take that lightly. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes are we healed. And we, like sheep, have gone astray. We turned, every one of us, to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He's put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he's poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. He stood in our place in our death. That's the chastisement that we deserved. We look at that chastisement as a blessing. Oh, thank God, what a blessing that he took the chastisement so that we could have peace. Just like Joyce talked about the sacrifices, they made sacrifice after sacrifice in the Old Testament. They brought the lambs, this was the sacrifice that ended all sacrifices. He was perfect. He was without sin. And he laid his life down and took the sin of every one of us. And it got nailed to that cross. We can have peace with God because he bore our chastisement, our sufferings, our iniquities, our transgressions. Ephesians chapter 2. You know, it is easy to quote these scriptures and not always give them the reverence. I've done it. But when we read them and we think of the actions that took place that they're talking about, we should give him praise. We should fall on our face before him and worship him. The Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus, he says, You've been quickened. What's that mean? You gave life. Because you were dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead. He said, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And two of the greatest words in the whole Bible. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, He made us alive together with Christ. Hallelujah! We were dead, headed to hell, and Jesus came. It's by grace you're saved. He's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kingdom toward us through who? Christ Jesus. Because it's by grace that we're saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Do you see it again? We cannot boast. We have not done anything. Jesus did it all on the cross. It's His gift to us because we could have never been a perfect sacrifice. We were sinners headed to hell. And Jesus said, I'll go and I will take it all. Thank you, Jesus. Today is Communion Sunday. I have no doubt why He saved this word for today. But He took our chastisement. I think it was John MacArthur in an interview, but I saw him say, he said the most beautiful verse in the whole Scriptures is 2 Corinthians 5:21. And he said, because He made Him to be sin for us. The one that knew no sin. And what did we get in return? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He gets the sin and the punishment and we get righteousness. We couldn't pay the price, so He paid it. And we get His reward. We better be humble. We better be humble. Peter talked about the same thing. 1 Peter chapter 2. I really am almost finished. Peter said in verse 21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps, who did no sin. Neither was guile found in His mouth. Who when He was reviled, reviled not against. When He suffered, He threatened not. Remember what He said to Peter? When Peter cut off that man's ear, He said, if I wanted to, I could call down angels, legions of angels. 72,000 right now. But He threatened not. But what did He do? He committed Himself to Him that judges righteously. So His own self bare our sins in His body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. We were healed from death to life. We were as sheep going astray, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Praise God that He would leave the 99 and come after me. That He would leave and come get me out of my sin, out of my pit, and then die for me. Our punishment He took. His reward we get to be partakers of. Chastisement correction, reproof comes from a bunch of different places. It comes sometimes when we come to church and we hear pastor. Or it comes when we're praying and the Holy Spirit convicts us. But it also comes out of this living word that He gave us. So if you're not being corrected when you read this book, I'll buy you another one. Because it corrects. It corrects. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Just flip back a few pages. I saw a video the other day that said, you ever feel like the fool in Proverbs when you're reading it? Oh, fool. I did that. And it had a hand come up out of the Bible and slap you in the face. Sometimes that's how I feel when I'm reading. I'm like, oh. Be slow to... Got it. Sorry. But you know why? Because this is alive. And Paul told Timothy, he said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. How many Scriptures? All of them. And it's profitable for what? Doctrine? Reproof? Oh, here it is. Correction. Instruction in righteousness. The what? That the man of God may be perfect, completely finished unto all good works. Read this book. Read this book. It will correct you. It will reprove you. It will instruct you. He gave it to us for a reason. He didn't just want to be a best-selling author. He gave us instructions. I'm telling you, you read it enough, you will get convicted. You will get corrected for your good. For your good. And then you'll say, thank you, Lord, for correcting me. Thank you for bringing me back into a right place. I'll close with these two verses. I'm going to have Rick again. Does it again. Split screen, Rick. And I called him yesterday and I said, hey, brother, I said, can you put the last two verses split screen? He said, yeah, do you want one in King James and one in NIV? And I said, no, I want them both in King James. And he said, well, it has to be the same verse. And I was like, well, that's okay. Don't worry about it. We'll just toggle back and forth. And he sent me a picture later of this. He goes, the Holy Spirit. He said, I prayed and the Holy Spirit showed me how to do it. Amen. That's a praise report. But I want to look at the two types of chastening one last time. We read both these verses. And the one in Isaiah, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And to that chastisement, we say, what a blessing that God would step in. Right? What a blessing that God took my punishment. Well, guess what? They're both blessings. Because whom the Lord loveth, He chastens. If God's not chastening you and you're in sin, you're in a bad way. Repent. Come back. Because if He is correcting you, if He's saying, hey, don't do that. He loves you. You're His son. You're His daughter. So when we get corrected, when He says, Aaron, don't say that. Okay. Well, when I've said it, He said, I didn't want you to say that. I'm sorry, God. It's because I'm His son. That's a blessing. It's a blessing that He corrects you. It's a blessing that He took your punishment. And it's a blessing that He's still correcting us today. Because all He wants is us to be partakers of His holiness. He wants to spend eternity with us. So give Him praise when He corrects you. Give Him thanks that He's still coming after you. It's a blessing. He is perfect. We were sinners. He was perfect and He died. Reverence the cross. Reverence His holy word. And thank Him for His correction. Each and every time He corrects. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your holy living word. God, we thank You that You speak to us. We thank You that You correct us. God, when we're doing something wrong, tell us. God, when we're sinning, correct us. God, when we're in a way that we shouldn't be, pull us back in. God, we want what you want. Because as the psalm said, you're working all things out for our good. God, you know the plans you have for us. They're good. They're for us to prosper. So God, as a church, I thank you that you still chasten me. I thank you that you still chasten us. I thank you that we're your sons and daughters. I thank you that you love us so much you didn't let us die in our sin. That you love us so much that you're not willing to let us go off on our sin. But that you correct us for our own good as a father corrects a child. But in the most perfect way. God, I pray right now, in the name of Jesus, to search our hearts. If there's anything in us that ought not be, Lord, chasten us right now. Give us a conviction. Speak to us that we ought not do what we're doing, that we need to turn, repent, and do what you've called us to do. And God, let us stay humble and thankful and grateful for what you've done and what you did. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.